Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, December the 4th, on an absolutely lovely day here in the North Texas area. It was just perfect temperatures, mid-50s. It got to 60, I think, in the afternoon, but other than that, it was just an absolutely lovely day. Well, today we're going to talk about these professors who came to Washington to talk about impeachment. We're also going to talk about Melania Trump and the decorations in the White House. You know, once again, it seems like some people just cannot stop criticizing the Trump family. I mean, it's just absolutely idiotic how where this has completely gone. And, you know, here's an interesting story. There are not going to be any minority candidates, I guess, in the upcoming Democrat debate. It looks that way. It looks like all the candidates on the stage, at least according to the recent polls, are all going to be white. And the only woman is going to be Elizabeth Warren. So you're going to have, I guess, four white guys and Elizabeth Warren. There's already a lot of discussion in the party about that. Now, I think it's pretty stupid when you play identity politics this way. But this is Well, sorry about that. I had a little allergy attack there that didn't do me any good. So I apologize. I had to go off the air there for about 20 seconds. So I hope you're still around. But anyway, I think this is what happens. This is what happens when you have a political party that has gone crazy, absolutely crazy, on identity politics. Everybody is looking around, you know, talking about gender and talking about skin color or whatever it is, rather than talking about who's the most qualified person. But you know, they had it coming. They've been this way for quite some time in the Democrat Party. So it is kind of amusing that now they're saying there isn't a minority candidate. Well, the problem is the minority candidates didn't do very well. I mean, Julian Castro is not doing well at all. This, you know, the senator from New Jersey is not doing well. And, of course, Kamala Harris, who was supposed to be the top-tier candidate, she didn't do very well either. So we're this is where we are. But the Democrats have sort of put themselves in this very sad situation, and they've created this mess. You know, they've created this mess with everything they've done regarding identity politics. Again, I apologize for my voice here in the first couple of minutes. I'm having some problems with my allergies, so please bear with me. I have an article over at the American Thinker about the violence in Mexico. I'm going to recommend that you check that out. It was available on Wednesday morning, and I'm going to recommend that you check that out. You know, President Trump is over in Europe, I guess. They were having NATO meetings, and you know, the everywhere he goes, of course, he creates. He's a disruptor. I mean, that's his nature. He just walks in and he shakes things up, and he is the leading personality in the world today, not just because he's the president, but he's just that way. And, you know, he's angry at some of these European countries. They're not paying their fair share. They're supposed to pay 2% of their GDP, or they're supposed to have 2% of their GDP invested in the military, and they don't have that. Canada doesn't have that. Germany doesn't have that. You know, I understand where the president is coming from. These countries are not paying. Well, that's too bad. They're not paying. They need to pay. They need to pay if they expect the American people, the American taxpayer, to continue to defend them. Sorry, but that's just the way it is. If you don't like it, I can understand that. But at the same time, we Americans don't like it either. You know, we don't like the fact that we're defending a lot of countries that are not serious about defending themselves. Well, let's talk a little bit about the professors today in Washington. You know, they showed up. They showed up in Washington. There were actually four professors, Jonathan Turley and three other professors. who I didn't really know anything about, had was not familiar with their names, but that's okay. I mean, I don't usually know a lot of professors in the Washington, D.C. area. But what it basically came down to is that they came across to me as very intelligent people, but very partisan people. I mean, it's clear that, you know, these individuals were brought in to basically make the case for impeachment, make the case that what the House has come up with is, in fact, an impeachable offense. But I don't think they did a very good job of that, frankly. And I thought, really, Jonathan Turley may have been the most persuasive of all of them when he said that this is no way to impeach a president, and you don't impeach a president just because you don't like him. And I think that, to me, was the most persuasive argument of the whole day. I mean, then later on, of course, we learned that some of these professors were actually working for the Obama administration and, you know, active in previous Obama campaigns and all of that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But they were presented to us as these, you know, holier than thou, my goodness, you know, the final authority on the definition of an impeachable offense. And I just don't think that that's the way it came across. Now, the bad news for the Democrats is that I think they've lost the audience. The audience for this thing today was pretty bad. The country is simply not interested in this. And the Democrats are not gaining from this. On the contrary, I think they're putting many people in their party at risk by these activities. So all I can say is they're not getting anywhere with these impeachable offenses or these presentations. I guess there's going to be more professors this week. I don't know who's coming next. But I think when this whole inquiry began, I think there were three objectives. Objective number one was we were going to basically satisfy the left wing of the party that wants us to talk about impeachment, no matter what the offense is. Now, they want to do impeachment. There's about 200 Democrats in the House who are going to vote for impeachment. They're going to vote for impeachment regardless of the article of impeachment. It could be a blank article of impeachment, and they're going to vote for it. So you've got about 200 members in that category in the House right now. Most of these are Democrats who represent pretty safe districts. So they don't have to worry about a challenge from the Republican side. They do have to worry, though, about a challenge from the left, which is why a lot of them are jumping on the impeachment bandwagon. They're protecting themselves from somebody from the left, not necessarily from a Republican in the general election. So that was the first objective here, was to take care of the left of the Democrat Party. The other objective, and why they did the inquiry rather than the formal vote, was to, I think, keep a lot of Democrats from having to vote formally for impeachment. So they were talking about impeachment, but at the same time, they were not really moving on impeachment. It's a pretty tricky situation, but that's what they were doing. They were not really talking about impeachment. They were, at the same time, you know, keeping the subject alive without having to make a commitment one way or the other. And that was, of course, done to protect a lot of the Democrats in the so-called Trump districts that will be defending those districts in 2020. And I think the last objective of the so-called inquiry was to see if they could flip a Republican or two, to see if there was a Republican out there, who would say, you know what, I'm going to crack and I'm going to go with the Democrats here because the evidence is just a bit overwhelming for me. Well, they really have not cracked a single Republican. In fact, the one Republican who I thought could crack was Will Hurd, here in the Texas area, who's not running for re-election, and he's in a tough district anyway. And he simply said, look, I haven't seen any evidence to support any of this. And I think once he said that was probably the one Republican who I thought could flip. And once he didn't, I knew that the Democrats were not going to get any Republicans. So where we are right now is, assuming they do a impeachment vote, assuming they write articles of impeachment, it's going to be a straight party vote. You're going to have, you know, all Democrats, with the exception of a few, I think five of them or two of them who didn't vote the first time, then you're going to have probably a lot of Democrats who are not going to go along. They'll probably get their 218. They'll figure out, you know, who they have to shake down to have 218. But they're not going to get a single Republican. So it's going to be a completely one-party partisan impeachment. And that just doesn't look good for the Democrats, and it doesn't look good for Nancy Pelosi's leadership. But that's where it's going, because I don't see any Republican. I don't see a single Republican who's going to be joining this. So this has become a very partisan impeachment, and that's where it's going. And I don't think that's going to be good for the Democrats or the American people. If you really had all these impeachable offenses that the professors were talking about today, I think that there would be an entirely different political landscape. And I think you would see Republicans joining with Democrats, maybe even going down to the White House to talk to President Trump to resign. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. None of that is going to happen. And so you're stuck with just a purely Democrat, straight party line vote for impeachment. And that's not going to be good for the Democrats in so many ways. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Geddes. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, December the 4th. Again, going back to my impeachment commentary, right now all they have is Democrats. They have not been able to flip a single Republican. That was, again, as I mentioned, that was part of the inquiry. That was part of the reason they were doing the inquiry. But they have not been able to flip a single Republican, and that's not good for Democrats to do a purely partisan impeachment. Well, let's talk about the First Lady, Melania, and her decorations. I guess this is the third Christmas that the President and the First Lady have been in the White House. And she has done these decorations beautifully in the past, and they're just as beautiful this year. That's absolutely beautiful. She does it around patriotism, which is a wonderful thing. So you see a lot of the colors of the country and the flags and just the whole thing of patriotism. Again, it's an absolutely wonderful thing. But people have to criticize the Trumps, which is very sad, because I've always felt that the First Lady, there's no reason to criticize the First Lady. I mean, she's the First Lady. What am I supposed to say? But, you know, there was a Washington Post reporter, I guess a fashion reporter, who said that her coat looked ridiculous. Well, I don't know. I didn't think it was ridiculous. I thought it was a pretty elegant coat. It was a white coat. It looked beautiful on her. I mean, clearly Melania Trump knows how to dress, and she is as presentable as any First Lady that I think we've ever had in this age of television. She's a beautiful woman, obviously, makes herself very telegenic. She knows how to handle herself in public. After all, she was a model for many years. But she's just, people just have to attack them. And I just don't understand why. I mean, I don't get why. I mean, why do we have to attack the First Lady? I mean, let's keep the First Lady out of our politics. And if you don't like the decorations, fine. Then, you know, say, well, you know. In fact, there's not even a good reason to say that you don't like her coat. If you don't like your coat, just keep it to yourself. I mean, I just think that, you know, Charles Krauthammer once created this thing called Bush derangement syndrome. And then, of course, it became Trump derangement syndrome. But I think we can now add to it Melania derangement syndrome, because the way this lady is treated by so many people in the media, you know, the way they go after her, the way they treat her, is just absolutely horrible. And she doesn't deserve that. She's a nice lady, and she's, after all, the wife of the president, and ought to be treated with a little bit more respect. But anyway, it happens every year. I guess that's the way it is in this age of Trump derangement syndrome. And now we have Melania derangement syndrome. Well, good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.